All right, for those of you who don't know who I am, my name's Landon, and I'm going to be bringing you a message today called Defending Your Mind. This is a topic that hit pretty hard for me this summer and just over the past couple days. I'd like to give you a statistic to start off. 19.86% of adults are experiencing mental illness in the U.S., which you might not think is that big of a percentage, but it's equivalent to 50 million Americans. 4.91% are experiencing severe mental illness. And the world tells them, well, find what makes you happy, continue in it, and you'll be fine. And sure, that might work for some people, but I can tell you right now, for me, it didn't work for me, because what I needed was a spiritual hole filled. I needed God to come into my life and give me his joy. Not happiness, joy. And that's something that the world can't give you. That's something that none of the TV shows, none of the commercials, none of the products you can buy can give you. It's something only God can. And I'm sorry, but we better start witnessing, because if 19.86% of people are experiencing it, they need God's joy. And the first point in my sermon is it starts with the heart. Where is your heart at? Is your heart in the things of the Lord or the things of the world? Because whatever it is, that's going to take priority. That's your heart's going to tell your mind what it wants. If your heart wants the things of the world, it's going to tell you to pursue the things of the world. If your heart is longing for God and the spiritual things of God, you're going to do works for God. Now, if you flip your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, the Bible talks about how our bodies are a temple, and they're a temple for God. If you look in verse 19, it says, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your bodies and in your spirit, which are God's." Our bodies are God's. He made us, he created us. We own none of us. I know we like to say, oh yeah, I earned this paycheck, or I did this or that. And trust me, I fell into the same rut. But we didn't do nothing. We couldn't do anything without God. God gave us the very air we breathe. I'm not breathing enough of it right now. But my second point is, what are you letting in? Because as children, we always sung this song, "Oh, Be Careful, Little Eyes," and I'm not actually going to sing before all of you start muting me. "Oh, be careful, little eyes. Oh, be careful, ears. Oh, be careful, your mouth. Oh, be careful, your mind." But are we actually applying that? Because I know it was just a little children's song that we sung, but it's real. Because whatever you let into your eye gates, your mouth gates, whatever you let in is what's going to control your life. If you look at Proverbs chapter 4, and we're going to start in verse 23. And in verse 23, it says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. But away from thee a forward mouth, and preserve lips, but far from thee, let thine eyes look right on the, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." That's pretty straightforward. It's basically what I just said. Whatever you let in is what's going to control you. And I feel like so many of us let these little bits of sin. I'll just watch this show. It's okay. Just has a couple bad words. No biggie. But yet you let that little bit of sin in. Then it starts to creep in more and more and more until it takes over. And then you have no control over what sin has in your life. And the only thing that can get that out of your life is God. So that brings me to my third point. How to repair/clean your mind. Now, we've already talked about what we need to get out, and that's, of course, sin. But when you have a hole, you have to fill it. And what are you going to fill that hole with? The things of God. Because that's what you need. That's what you need to fill your life with. And that's the only thing that's going to bring you true joy. Turn to 2 Timothy, and we'll go to chapter 1, and we'll start in verse 7. Now, like I said, you want to replace it with the things of God, which even the Bible says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." God gave us the ability to have a sound mind, power, and everything through him. Not through the world. That can't give us that. But he can. We can conquer the sin in our hearts by simply trusting in God. But still, what do we fill it with? I'm a Christian. Sure, whatever. Which is an important thing. But what am I doing to fill that hole? Number one, prayer. Prayer is something that we all take for granted so much. Because you're praying to nothing, it feels like sometimes. Sometimes you feel like your prayers aren't being heard. Trust me, he hears every single prayer. I had somebody that I was praying for so long. Didn't see any guidance or didn't even see anything change in him. And then one night, switch flipped. God was working in that man's heart from day one. I didn't see it. I could have never seen it. But God did. God saw little old us, gave us a plan of salvation so that we can live eternity with him, just like the rest of them are saying. If not, you're going to live eternity in hell. Nobody wants to be there. Nobody wants to go there. We don't want anybody there. So we need to have prayer for ourselves and for others. Secondly, Bible reading. How can we expect to grow as Christians unless we're in the Word of God? God gave us his Word, which he said will never change and should never change. That's why we believe in the KJV Bible, because nothing in here will ever change. Because when God said it the first time, he meant it. It's like when my parents tell me, when I say it, I mean it. So you obey it. So why can't we obey God like that? And then turn to Philippians 4, and we'll go to verse 6. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." That goes along with the prayer. God even said it himself. Let everything be known unto him. He gave it to you. He can take it away just as fast. I've watched him take things away from me that I wanted so bad, but it was the worldly side of me. It was the side of me that let that little bit of sin creep in. Just kept letting it creep in to a point where I couldn't control it and I didn't even know it. It was completely oblivious to me. And then another thing is relationships and friends. And that has to do with family relationships. Who are you around? I have a great youth group here. They're always backing me up. I mean, they're the reason why I'm here right now. But I also had some of those worldly friends. Those friends that were not awful. They still believed in God, but they weren't really following him. So I was like, oh, I'll stick with them. They're okay. I can witness to them. But instead, they took me under. They kept taking me under. And they just had a hold on my heart to where I couldn't control it again. And I had to let go of some of those friends. It was awful, because they were some of my close friends. And that was my fault for letting them in that close. You should never have somebody who's not equally yoked, like the Bible said, that close to you. Because they're only going to bring you down. And even when it comes to family members, it's hard sometimes, because I have friends that have family members that aren't saved. I have family members that aren't saved. But you can't let them bring you down just because they aren't saved. Yes, you want to witness to them. Trust me. I'm doing everything in my power to witness to everybody around me. But you can't let them take you down. You can't let them bring you down a notch just so you can witness to them. Because God gave us each a plan. And we're going to fulfill that plan if we let him work through us. And then lastly, what takes priority in your life? Because if God takes priority, your mind's already going to be filled with the things of God. You're going to be constantly thinking about, hey, I should have witnessed to them. Even if you didn't do it, it's still going to be on your mind. Instead of, oh, hey, let's go out and go hang out with this friend group that I shouldn't be around. It's going to be, oh, I'm glad I didn't hang out with them because I shouldn't have been around them from the get-go. Because God takes priority in your life. There's very few things that I feel so strongly on because I'm a very indecisive person. But when it comes to defending your mind, it is one of the most important things you can ever do because your mind is so powerful and we don't even realize it. It's so small, especially for me. Mine's really small. But trust me, it still controls just about everything in my body. If my mind tells my arm to move, it'll move, okay? That's how it works. But it also can tell my arm to move in a place where I don't want to be. It can tell my feet to go where I don't want them to go. But that's because I let my mind get filled with things that I shouldn't let it get filled with. And that's why it's so key to keep firm in this word right here. God gave it to us for a reason. It's not for us just to look at it and be like, oh, those are words. Hard to read sometimes. But that's why we get into it. We actually study it. We don't just skim over it, see the hard words, skip over them. I have this motto, words are hard, but that doesn't mean we skip over them. We actually get the definitions, and we find out what God's word actually means. Because anybody can read the Bible, but Christians are actually going to want to study it and learn what it can do for their lives. And I'm saying this as a person who's experienced it themselves. We got to learn how to study it. And actually study it. Because only then will your heart and mind be as powerful as it can ever be. So as we close our eyes in prayer, and I have pastors start coming up for invitation, I want to leave you as one last thing. As most have mentioned, the plan of salvation. What about you? Are you saved? If not, get that right today. If you're going through something, or even if you're not, he will always be there. He will always guide you. No matter what you're doing, and he will always have a plan for your life. Pastor?